I don't always give topical messages that have to do like when the day falls on a certain, you know, like Mother's Day or Father's Day or maybe a certain other holiday. But I really just felt led to talk about moms today in a way that I want us to remember. Remember the moms in our lives, but remember that it is a truth that all of us have the same common mother. We all go back to the first woman ever created. Every one of us, you know, we all can look at our lineage and we can go on, you know, ancestry and those things and find back and look at our roots. But we all know that it all comes back to one. So I want to talk about Eve this morning. We hear a lot about her, but I don't know that we hear too many messages on her specifically. You know, she was created by God. She was created as he took and formed Adam from the dust. God always knew that it wasn't good for him to be alone, but he wanted Adam to know it wasn't good for him to be alone. So after he had him name all the animals, he, without finding a helpmeet suitable for him, he took from his side and created woman. That's what Adam called her, woman. In the Bible, we have to remember, before the fall, they were both called Adam in the garden. They were both Adam, male and female. She was woman. But it was after the fall, after sin, that I think it's Genesis 3:20 says that Adam now named his wife Eve. Because she is the mother of all living. I don't know how long they were in the garden before the fall. I don't. None of us do. I tend to think it was a fairly short time. That's my opinion. But we don't know for sure. But at some point, we know the basic story. Eve initially succumbed to the temptation, ate from the tree that they should not eat from, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She was duped, if you will. She was tempted and then duped by the serpent, by Satan. And in that, we recognize that the Bible tells us that even though Adam was formed first, then Eve, it says in 1 Timothy 2 that Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became the transgressor. But we know that in Adam, the man, we see the ultimate blame for the fall, and all have sinned in Adam. So we always think of Eve in those negative terms. Why in the world did she have to do that? Why did she have to eat? Now we're dealing with all this junk. Ah. But let's look at it a little more closely, because there's a lot more here than the initial blush of the story. Yes, we know that she was deceived. We know that the enemy came to her and said, you know, Genesis 3:4-5, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. We know all that. We realize that she took and she ate. But we also have to remember something. That Adam was there with her, the Bible says very clearly, and there was something deficient in him and in his dealing with the situation that allowed it to progress to the point. Yes, we're not going to absolve Eve. She did do what she did. She did sin. She did transgress. She did disbelieve God and rebelled against God's command. But he also takes a lot of that blame too, because we recognize that he was in the vicinity and he did nothing to stop the situation. So the two curses came upon, well, a curse came upon the world and man and Satan, but two curses specifically to Eve. First, she would have pain in childbearing. And second, that her relationship with her husband would be characterized by conflict. She would want to control him, but he would be given headship over her. And those two curses still are in effect today. Within the marriage situation, there's that conflict, even in the best of marriages, and no matter what medical science does, women still have pain, great pain, in childbirth. But they were created as adults. They weren't babies. Innocent, yes, but not babies. They were able to communicate. They understood what God command, the command God gave him. They were able to talk to one another. God gave the command to Adam. He was responsible to give it to Eve. And if he was deficient in some way that caused it, then obviously he's to blame in that. But Eve was a woman of many firsts. And one of the first things that Eve did that is prevalent not only in women but in men even today is that she wanted to believe the best, even in the serpent. In her innocency, she didn't want to believe or didn't even understand that someone would intentionally try to deceive her, to take things from her. And how many have made that same mistake by thinking, oh, they mean well, they mean good, but not realizing that they have evil intent. So even though her actions were foolhardy, you know, you have to feel for Eve a little bit. And sometimes, and I've had people, you know, kind of rail on Eve a little bit, and I remind them and saying, listen, if you were in the garden, you would have done the same thing. It's the heart of man that is deceitfully wicked. It's the heart of man that is a heart of rebellion and disobedience. So we have to realize that though she did, and we can say, yes, she ate, sin came into the world, she did it, but we also have to feel for her to a certain degree. But when she ate of that fruit, she then understood, like Adam, the knowledge of good and evil. They realized their eyes were open. They realized that they were naked. They realized that there was something now between them. They realized that they had separated themselves from God. They realized, not the full extent of it, I don't believe, but they realized that something changed in their relationship and their relationship with God, their Creator. So Eve was created from man, you know, by God from man, but in the image of God also. She was designed to serve as his helpmeet. She was a woman who then would bear children, and she was the first to do that in pain, and she only had Adam to assist her. Nobody else to guide her. She didn't know what it meant to be a mother. She was the first to do all these things, to nurse a child, to raise a child in that way. And Eve was the first, as we know, to recognize what happens when you disobey God's commands, when you go away from God's perfect plan for your life. She acted impulsively. She acted independent on her own authority. She did not, even though, again, you know, whatever Adam was doing in the vicinity, she didn't consult with him. She was unhappy of her state. She had a paradise, but she wanted more. She thought there was more that God was keeping from her, and she just acted on her own. And when she was confronted with her own sin, she blamed someone else, Satan. She did not initially take responsibility for what happened. And this is a sad story. And we might think that it is the saddest story of them all. And all we can see from that is pain and heartache and despair. And it plays out every day in our world today. We see the results of that original sin. We see the results of sin and what it brought into the world. But not only was Eve the first to blame someone else, she was also the first of many to get thrown under the bus by her own husband. Because when he was there, it's the woman you gave me. She was the first to get thrown out of paradise. Again, she was the first to bear children in pain. And she was the first to bear a child that became a murderer and an outcast. She was first to know the pain of losing a child as Abel was murdered by his brother. She was the first to deal with the guilt and the realization that it was her fault, that this happened because of my actions. But in spite of all of this and more, I can go into so much more depth here. If time would allow us, I can go so much deeper into these things that Eve had to realize even for the first time and to do for the first time. And in spite of all these things that we see even today that are tragic and are full of heartache and despair, we also see something, and it's the grace of God. Even in God pronouncing judgment upon them, he gave them the reason for hope. He gave them in Genesis 3:16, the first, if you will, of the gospel to come out, that he was going to bring from the seed of the woman, one who would crush the head of Satan. And Eve believed God. She believed God because when she did bear a child, when she bore her first son, who would eventually become the murderer, she exclaimed, I got a child from God, in some way saying, here it is. Maybe this is the promise. Maybe already God is bringing us the redemption and bringing that salvation back to us. I believe God said, from the seed of the woman, from me. And when that even failed her, when he became the first murderer in that way, she then bore another child after Abel. His name was Seth, who God gave her. And gave her to be able to carry this seed that would eventually culminate in the Lord Jesus Christ, who would crush the head of Satan and bring salvation to the world. See, Eve, through all of the dissolution, through all of her disobedience, through all of her heartache, through all of her guilt, through all of her shame, through all of her pain, believed God. And she, see, I never know, none of us know with any certainty except for ourselves who's going to be with Jesus. You know, I believe you know when you come to faith in Christ, you know you're born again, you know that you've been, you know, translated from death unto the eternal life in Jesus Christ. But we, you know, even people that we know that have accepted Christ, we're not God. I'm not anybody's judge. Only God knows those who have accepted his salvation. I don't know for a fact that Adam and Eve will be in glory in heaven. I believe that. My personal belief is yes, they will be. But it was only not because God just felt sorry for them. It was because, just like Abraham, they believed the promise of God when he promised them a Savior in that time when he was talking about the judgment upon them. He gave them the hope of the Savior, and she believed it. And if you will, she was redeemed. She was declared righteous because of her belief in the promise to come. She believed that through her, somehow, she would find redemption, because in Adam they sinned, but the second Adam, which is Jesus Christ, who is out sin, came from woman and came to save us from our sins. Because that seed that was passed down through Eve came down eventually to Abraham and to Sarah, and then all the way through the millennia and all the way down the line until another young woman who was a virgin was found to be with child, but not of any human origin, but Mary, who bore the Messiah. She was the vessel that God chose to bring the Messiah into the world, which would become the Redeemer. So therefore, as the Bible says in Romans 5:12, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, death spread to all men because all sin, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law, yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. Jesus Christ, because it continues on and says in 1 Corinthians, for in Adam all shall die, but in Christ all shall be made alive. So I was thinking, the mother of all living, that's who Eve is. I was thinking how the Bible bears that out, even to the point where in the Gospel of John, it's very clear that everyone that Jesus created was a creation of God, and we were all created by God, and we came through the same means. We were all born through the same way after the fall. We were all born from a woman. We all came into the world that way, and everyone that came into the world that way is a creation of God. But not everyone who is a creation of God will become a child of God, but they all have the potential to become a child of God. See, one of the biggest misnomers in the Bible, people say, well, we're all God's children. No, we're all the creation of God with the potential to become the children of God. And the Apostle Paul writes later on in Galatians where he talks about us, and he explains it this way. He talks about the contrast between the Old Testament and the New, and the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And he talks about it in this way in Galatians 4:22. He says, for it is written that Abraham had two sons. So eventually the line, the seed, came through Abraham. And then from Abraham there were two sons born, right? One was by the bondwoman, the other after the free woman. So one was from Hagar, when they took matters again into their own hand and didn't believe God's promise. They said, no, we have to help God out. So he said, here, take Hagar and have a child by her, and then we'll adopt that child, and that will be this, and we'll fulfill God's promise. And God says, no, that's not the way it is. I said, you and Sarah will have a child. So the first one was born of the bondwoman, but the other one was by Sarah. when she was over 90 years old and was too late for her to have a child, but God gave her the miracle of having a child, even when Abraham was close to 100 years old. And then goes on to say, he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman by the promise. And then it continues on saying, which things, he's talking about, Paul, are symbolic. For these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, under the law, under bondage, under the one that which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her. Children, but the Jerusalem above is free, which is mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you are not in labor, for the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. So Paul is telling us that the promise of God, that from the Eve, the mother of all living, would come the seed through God's promise, not from Ishmael, not from, again, human beings taking matters into their own hands and doing things their way, but by the promise of God. And in that promise, we see the salvation that whoever believes God's word and acts upon that belief in God's word. And today we look at it back to the cross. We look back to creation. We look back to the fall. We look back, and as we see the problems and all of those things that came from the mother of all living, we realize that along that way came Jesus Christ. And he was the sinless, sinless Lamb of God, the one who took on our sin upon himself and paid the penalty upon the cross. And in Jesus Christ, the Bible says, if we believe in him, if we accept his forgiveness, we are born again and we have now eternal life. We have the curse reversed. We have the opportunity to be redeemed and brought back from death into eternal life. And this is the result of those who follow God's word and God's way and God's promises. See, this morning, we have an opportunity to recognize as we look back and to say to ourselves, even in the worst of situations, even what Eve did, God brought something beautiful and wonderful from it. And women today have to remember, though these lessons are for all of us, we have to remember that women today remember something. You are created in the image of God. And from the beginning, that was the plan, because in the creation, in Adam, meaning the male and the female, was everything that God wanted the perfect creation to be. He created him perfect, took her from his side and created the woman, and together, both the male and the female characteristics, we see what God's original intention for creation was. But even again, when they did everything to destroy that, we see that even today, God brings salvation and redemption. And God's plan for humanity requires that men and women play a role in that. We all have a job to play in this. First, to believe for ourselves. Nobody else can save you. But when you come to faith and believe in Jesus Christ, then we have an opportunity to spread the message of that hope to the world that's around us today, to the world that is reeling in the results of that original sin. We have to say, no, 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 there's hope. No, there's a better way. There is a way of escape. And not only temporarily, it's not only peace that the world will give you for the 70, 80, 90 years you live here. No. There's something, the message of Jesus Christ, the message of salvation that will give you that peace and joy now, but it will carry you all through eternity. So remember something, nothing that we do is hidden from God. Blaming our others, like Eve did initially, for our disobedience doesn't help. We have to own up and take responsibility for it. The only way for us to be saved is for us to admit to ourselves, yeah, we weren't in the garden. We didn't do that original sin, but guess what? If I was there, I would have done it. But even if I wasn't there, I was born into sin. And guess what? Not only was I born into sin, I've committed sin. Because we all have sinned, the Bible says, and you know it. We all know that. And we have to own up to it and say, yes, I'm a sinner. I am a sinner. I take ownership of it. And the consequences are death. Not only physical death, but eternal death, separation from God. So Eve wasn't the only one who ever screwed up, who ever sinned. And she's a portrait, if you will, of all of us. But Eve also showed us that in spite of that sin and in spite of our sin, we can rest in God who has made a way of escape for us. And we could rest in him even when things are at their worst. So I'm going to leave you with a few thoughts. One, if you're here today, you're listening in, and you have not yet trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are going to continue to have the full effects of the sin that, yes, your original mother had a hand in bringing into the world, but it's also the sin that you continue to commit that is bringing you to that point. It's time now for you to realize that in spite of that, see, God could have said when Eve sinned and when Adam sinned, when they both sinned, he could have said, I'm done with you all, that's it. Or I'm just going to let it play out and let them all burn in hell for eternity. But God had a plan from the very beginning to redeem them. And that's the redemption that's available to you today. And you have to own your sin. Accept it. And accept the consequences, which is death. But then also at the same time say, but I heard a good message, a good news. And that is that in spite of my sin, I am not doomed. There's salvation available. There's redemption available. And if I just would turn from my sin, I could turn to Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman, and be saved and be born into the family of God. So what do you want to focus on? The negatives only or the good message? See, if we focus on the negative only, we're always going to be miserable and continue in our misery. But if we recognize that in spite of all of that, there is a good message and a good message of hope, then we could enter into that message. And then once we do and we enter into that hope and we're born into God's family, then you and I have an opportunity to focus on the good things that are around us. Yeah, this world is going to hell fast. But God has left us here to make a difference. And God has blessed us with blessings that we can't even imagine. And we have to stop focusing on the negative things and focus on the good things that God has given us in this world and spread the message of redemption through Jesus Christ. And do not doubt what God has told you. I like in the book of Revelation when John is seeing this amazing revelation, and it comes to that one point where God says, behold, I make all things new. And he has to say to John, right, because these things are faithful and true. I think John got to the point where he's like, huh. No, John, write it down for yourself and for others to read it later, because these things, what I have said, are faithful and true. Everything in here is faithful and true. Amen. Believe God's word. Don't doubt God. Don't doubt what he has told you. Focus on God's word. Instead of focusing on all the other things, focus on the word of God. See, when Jesus was tempted, right? Serpent came and tempted him too. What did he do? He brought it right back to the word of God. He used scripture. Use the word of God. Feast on the word of God. Focus on it and apply it in your life. Don't try to take everything and control it in your life. Because that's what Eve was trying to do. She was in this perfect environment, but she wanted something more. And she said, no, I can control. I can handle the situation. I want more. No. Be content with the things that God has given you. And be content with the role in which you play. We all have a role and a responsibility. In Eve's role, she was created to be the helpmeet to her husband, which is not an inferior situation. In fact, it's a very high order to be called to, the helpmeet to her husband. Accept the roles that we have in this world. And don't try to seek control or take control of everything. And don't look at only at this world now. Because if you focus on this world, on the things of the present, the things of now, you're going to lose focus of eternity. And when we keep things in perspective with what eternity means and whether that eternity is either in hell, you know, what is it? If you gain the whole world but lose your soul, you've lost everything, right? And if you focus on the fact that, this is just a proving ground here. This is just a temporary come through. I have to realize that in this life, I have an opportunity to have heaven with Jesus. Where all things are made new. And listen, I want to remind you something. Somebody asked me this one time years and years and years ago. I think we were in Bible study. And they said to me something about heaven. And they were kind of upset about eternity. And I couldn't understand that. And then they finally said to me, yeah, but I don't want to have to struggle like I'm doing now for all eternity. And I said, oh, no, listen. Behold, he makes all things new. There's no struggle when we get there. There's no sorrow, pain. There's no opportunity for us to sin anymore when we're in glory. Keep that eternal perspective. Because if you keep that eternal perspective, it'll help you to deal with everything right now. You are loved. You're a child of God. If you've been born again, you're a child of God. If you're not born again, you're his creation with the opportunity to become a child of God. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone and give no room to the evil one. None. The old saying, you give him an inch, he'll take a mile, whatever it is. Don't give him an inch. Don't give him a centimeter. Don't give him a millimeter. Give him nothing. Keep your focus on Jesus Christ. Put your trust in him alone. And remember, God never lies. Oh, God's keeping something back from you. He doesn't want you to enjoy this life. No, that's a lie from the pit of hell. They had everything they could have wanted and more. Don't believe his lies of Satan, because God's word is true. He never lies. You know, Numbers 23 says, God is not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should change his mind. He has said, and will he not do it? Or he has spoken, and will not fulfill it? God will fulfill everything he's promised us. And remember, all sin separates. All sin leads to death. All sin leads to destruction. When you're saved, I wish I could tell you that when you're born again, you'll never sin again. Unfortunately, that's not true. But the good news is that, first of all, when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, he does two things. He forgives you of your sin, not by your merits, but because of his love for you and the grace and the fact that Jesus took the penalty for you on the cross. So he receives you, you're justified, your guilty is all out, you're fully guilty, but he says you're declared innocent, right? Declared not guilty, not innocent, you're declared not guilty, even though we are guilty because of what Jesus did. He does that first and foremost for us, and then the next thing, you know what he does for us? He gives us amazing opportunity to realize that we can now walk like he wants us to walk. And if we do stumble, if we do find ourselves reverting back to our mother Eve sometimes, he says, if you confess your sin, Christians, you are faith. He is faithful and just to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And so whatever sin comes in and begins to separate our, not our salvation, that's solid, but separates our fellowship, our communion, our walk with the Lord when we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So happy Mother's Day. And it is good because guess what? Think on Eve. Yeah, she did a lot of bad first, but she also did some really good first. And the most important thing she did as a good first is she believed the promises of God. And from her obedience to bear those children, the Messiah Jesus came into the world, and we can have eternal life through him.